Geeks On, a show created by geeks for geeks, covering topics that geeks like to talk about. This week, it's Geeks On, The Ultimate Decision. Do the needs of the many outweigh the needs of the few? For more information and news we talk about in the show, go to our website at www.geekson.com.
Hey!
Hello, my geeklies!
Okay, so tell me about this Stonehenge-y thingy that's it's so much
better.
Well,
we can
than
tell us about Stonehenge-y thingy in a couple minutes as soon as we know who she is.
Matt,
why don't
you?
We do our introductions?
Well, my name is Matt King. I am an actor here in Los Angeles, and I'm a geek.
My name is Don Marshall. I am a writer and video game professional here in sunny Hollywood, and I, too, am a geek.
I am Ianthi. I'm a creative director here in Los Angeles, and this is breaking news. I am a geek.
And I'm Aaron Hendricks. I'm a graphic designer here in Los Angeles, and I'm a geek.
You might have heard Ianthi on our Game of Thrones episode. She is once again stepping into the breach for Peter, who is twinning.
Yes.
Twinning. Is that a verb now?
I'm going to use it as a verb. I'm going to use people as a verb. I'm going to use those two little cute children as a verb.
So Ianthi was a very successful switch hitter? Pinch hitter.
Woo!
Like
it's a double outing.
I said I was bringing the sexy.
So we're hoping to lure her in to be a regular fill-in replacement.
So
be nice, geeklings.
So
be
much
nice.
Innuendo. All right, so tell me about the Stonehenge-y.
Well, now
Stonehenge.
I feel a little bit self-conscious about it because I don't remember exactly how to pronounce it, but it's basically an archaeological dig in Turkey that apparently makes Stonehenge seem, well...
Like a modern structure?
Like,
it's one of the first ring structures, and they have... It basically pushes back the date, and it's started a debate within the archaeological community between the advent, whether civilization brought about organized religion or whether religion brought about civilization.
Ooh, and wow. That is a fantastic
we
argument.
We should find this article and post it on our Geeks On.
This maybe sounds like a really just interesting topic.
Maybe,
yes.
Yeah, maybe chat about it.
Absolutely. And it's in my subscription to archaeology. And
thinking you're a geek.
Now, I have not read the article yet. I've just tagged it, but apparently they found like a gazillion pyramids through satellite photos.
I read that. That's kind of fascinating.
That haven't been raided by pirates for the last 300 years.
Or looters.
Okay, wait,
those landlocked pirates are really
right,
a drag.
So now we have pyramids being raided by pirates.
Well, I mean,
the world's getting better by the day.
We've gotten like four movies in the first 5 minutes
this
of this episode.
This is the fifth Pirates of the Caribbean movie. I'm
yeah.
What does
Captain Jack Sparrow
have to do?
Versus the Pharaoh.
Versus the Mummy. Come on.
Jack Sparrow versus the Pharaoh. Pirates in the Sand. That's what you call it.
Sand pirates.
So wait. Pirates have to be on the ocean.
I would assume.
Pirate involves naval. Otherwise, they're just bandits or villains.
Right. Yeah. Bandits. Got
a bandit is a pirate without a ship.
Got it.
And people bandits. Who rob graves, grave robbers or looters. Yes.
Well, they're sending these little robots in there, finding all sorts of passages.
Where are these pyramids you're talking about?
I haven't read the article, but I believe they're in Egypt.
Wow.
And Hosni Mubarak was just hiding them.
There are some in the Middle East, too. Not pyramids, but
they're
sites.
They're like finding these on like... Google Maps.
I wouldn't be so surprised to find some in like South America. I mean, we have a whole lot of pyramids down there, a whole lot of jungle that isn't well mapped.
Oh yeah,
those are probably harder to see with satellite photos. Because
I don't know. They have.
Covered.
I mean, when we
yeah,
went,
the ground cover is kind of crazy.
When Kat and I went to Belize, we actually got to see the pyramids and the ones that had been excavated, but it was obvious. It was like there's that one and that one and that
because
one
because they've been excavated.
No. I'm saying it was obvious to see which were the structures that were still.
I've seen portions of Tikal when they were overgrown before they've been excavated, you would not see that thing from the sky.
Right.
Keep in mind, these are jungles where if you leave it unattended for 15 minutes, something's going to just swallow it in greenery, you know? these are one of these things where like over time-lapse photography of a single day, you can watch plants grow.
It's
like the movie
Dagobah.
The Ruins. Yeah. Remember that?
It's insane.
Piece of crap movie.
Oh, it was terrible.
Missed that one.
It was terrible.
No, wait. Wasn't that the one with the monster in the Museum of Natural History?
No,
the ruins is just
no, that was
plants, man-eating plants.
Yeah, teenagers have sex first 5 minutes, then get to top of pyramid.
A teenager that lasts for 5 minutes, that's pretty impressive.
And then the plants eat them.
Oh. I know people worked on
Well, someone has to die when they're having teenage sex.
Yeah, true. True. Yes.
Should we get to news?
I think we've started it, but sure.
Sure. Sure.
Cool. Who's got what?
Well, one thing I want to bring up, which is not news, I want to talk about Thor.
Okay,
we never got to talk
Thor.
About it.
Oh, you never got to talk
we
about
never
it.
Got to talk
about it. Now, so which of us have seen Thor?
I've seen it.
We've all seen
We've all seen Thor. My God. There's
That's
a
weird.
Switch.
So, what did you guys think of Thor?
Okay, go ahead.
I actually enjoyed it. I'm going to say I read the comic books as a kid. Not most of them. Mm-hmm. It was my least favorite of the Marvel Universe.
Auntie, how is this breaking news that you're a geek?
I just don't admit it publicly.
I was gonna say,
an undercover geek, and now I'm blowing it.
Okay. You're actually coming out of the closet right now.
Yeah, you know.
I was going to say, do you like bifurcate your brain so you're like keeping it compartmentalized?
I don't know. It all works somehow.
All right.
No, I understand that. Like the Thor comic always seems so tacked on to the rest of the Marvel universe.
Yeah, and he always
he
was kind of a wanker. I mean, he just talked hard. Like, you know, he was always swearing on his hammer and talking about Odin, and just was very meh.
I thought the movie was kind of meh.
But I went in with low expectations, and I really liked it.
Mm. Yeah, I disagree.
What, did Chris Hemsworth help that?
When he took off his shirt, it sure didn't hurt.
Boy, howdy. It's just
like, you can make that scene last
Honestly, I have no idea if he was good in the movie or not, because I just can't remember anything aside from the shirtless moment. It's just gone.
Yeah. Kat was very, 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 very happy with Chris Hemsworth. She thought he was... My friend actually is one of the ice giants in the film, and so...
I couldn't pick him out, though.
Josh.
Yeah. We know Joe Gatt. He knows Josh Cox. So
we know all the ice giants?
Yeah, between us, we know all the ice giants.
I thought they were all digital. I didn't know they were actually...
Well, that was the problem. They didn't sit the camera on any of the ice giants long enough for me to tell who was who or what was what.
Yeah.
Apparently, there were 5 different ice giant characters.
Yes.
Melded. They all melded together, except for the leader. Yeah. I mean, otherwise, yeah.
I felt like...
Great little voice.
I felt like they sincerely blew it.
I did.
I felt like they...
On the movie or the ice giants?
On both. I felt like they had a real opportunity to do something with Thor. I felt like they had great set pieces. I felt like Chris Hemsworth...
I am not a fan of Jack Kirby artwork, but transferred into real world stuff, that was beautiful.
It translates. It absolutely
beautiful
translates.
Beautiful sets.
But I felt like they really blew it. They basically... every time they were on Asgard, I was bored out of my skull. And I really liked the sort of, you know, him lost in Earth. But the thing was, the whole thing at the end was like, can Thor smash a bridge? Or can Loki do a sit-up? I mean, that was the thing. That's how he beat the bad guy. He put his fucking hammer on his chest, and Loki couldn't do a sit-up. So,
well, the whole thing with the hammer is the unjust can't lift it. So once you put it down, he is magically pinned.
Oh, for God's sakes.
I'm going to disagree.
I'm siding with Ianthe on this one.
I'm going to disagree.
I actually felt like this movie had a very high potential for suck, and they dodged it.
Agreed.
I'm putting this on the whole... No. This is the ab syndrome, I think, because this side
what,
of the
room... What, you think we're blinded by his abs?
I think you're blinded by the abs here.
I will admit that's entirely possible.
I'm saying it was a good moment for me, but I think it blinded me to the rest of the movie.
I thought I'm agreeing with you that the Asgardian characters were sort of boring.
They were boring.
They're a bit boring. But here's the thing. I mean, I really thought they covered... They had a lot of information. Again, I don't know why I always end up being the person saying this, but they had a lot of information, a lot of backstory that they delivered in a way that wasn't totally boring. I didn't think Asgard was that slow. And I just thought also the whole delivery in the comic books was so stilted that the potential for suck was huge.
Oh, absolutely.
And they dodged it. I thought Chris Hemsworth was good.
He was good. I had no problem with
him. He was good. My big thing was they had so much to kind of fit in that the pacing of the movie went so fast that my big thing was the Natalie Portman character. Like, literally, they'd barely spent any time together. And then she was in love with him. And she had seen him shirtless also, so maybe I shouldn't be surprised.
I believed that she was hot for him, but I didn't believe that she loved him.
But yeah. Stellan Skarsgård saw the way she looked at him.
My biggest problem was that we were supposed to have this character arc that I did not get. You know, he comes down to Earth and he needs to learn his lesson. He pals around a little bit with these Earthlings. Fine. Then they send this giant robot down to supposedly destroy Earth. All he destroys is several
blocks.
Winnebagos.
A couple of blocks.
Yeah, like a couple of cars. So Earth is never in jeopardy. His friends never really get in jeopardy.
That's the problem. The whole point is if Earth is in jeopardy, then there would have been a movie. But Earth was not in jeopardy. The only thing that was ever in jeopardy was a bridge.
So wait.
Was property.
No, that's not true. The Ice Giant's world was being destroyed. How can you say the bridge was the only thing in jeopardy?
The bridge was the only thing in jeopardy. It was like the connection to Earth.
But we weren't.
He was going to commit genocide. I don't think you can say it's about the bridge.
Yeah, he was going to wipe out the Jotunheim.
Jotunheim,
the land of the ice giants. But then show it. You know,
on that issue, I think they did show it.
I thought they did. I got it.
But I think.
Mike, where were you?
But I'm agreeing with you that
maybe
the
you
finale,
were blinded by his
But I'm agreeing that the finale of the movie, you are correct. Like, it was just a giant stomping around. Oh no, he's inevitably going to kill everything.
But I love the
maybe
giant.
Next week. I mean, you can outrun him pretty easily. But
I thought fire breathing gills were awesome.
No, it was cool. Yeah, it was a cool. It was like giant. Gort. It was like the new Gort.
I like Gort too.
So I suppose I'm consistent in that.
My major issue was that Loki failed as a mastermind. For me.
And by the way, I hear he's the main bad guy in the Avengers. That's the rumor.
All of his plans were half-assed. I will lie to you and keep you to Earth, which will last until somebody tells you that I was lying.
Right.
Haha, I will freeze you in ice until it is inconvenient for you to be in ice. You know,
until you break out. Yeah.
Did you read the comic books?
I felt like they wanted him to be likable. You know,
they succeeded in that. I did feel for him at a couple points.
Right. But there was no point in it.
No, there was no point.
It would have been better if you're like, Loki was lying to everyone the whole time.
Well, I believed him. I believed that he was,
he's Loki, for God's sake.
Until he started chewing the scenery at the end, and all of a sudden he just goes completely balls to the wall psycho for no apparent reason.
Well, the other thing was, there were one point where they actually show the Norse myths, and they show Loki being a bad guy in the book. If the humans, they show, you know.
Oh, that's right.
He goes and he pulls the Norse myths out.
I missed that
and
completely.
He looks at Loki, and it's like, well, if the humans know he's bad, why is Thor a dumbass if he's been living with him for that, you know?
I didn't even see it.
Oh, no, that was great-great-grandfather Loki.
Yeah.
Come on.
You know what, though?
It's just a bad name, but we had to pass it
down. I enjoyed the action sequences. I thought they were fun.
Me too.
Despite a little too much shaky cam for my tastes.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of that.
I actually thought the transitional, just the standard dialogue was fun. You know, they had this great little intern character who was just a hoot.
Oh, she's marvelous.
I loved her.
She's in a new CBS
show. Oh, is she?
Oh, she was great.
You know, but I think the movie, was it as strong as Iron Man? No. Was it as strong as Spider-Man? No.
Batman? No.
No. But was it better than The Punisher? Yes.
I'm like, and again,
well, yeah,
I'm going to say comic book wise.
X-Men?
Only Caribbean people can actually limbo below The Punisher.
It was definitely better than X-Men 3.
Okay.
You know?
Oh, yeah.
It was good.
That's a low bar.
I'm not saying that it was the best Marvel products yet, but it was fun. It didn't take itself too seriously, you know, and I don't think we need to enjoy it.
No, I would agree with
that. I thought it was just okay. It was meant to me.
Yeah. But again, I felt like if you had made Earth the Earth at the end, he's
going to take out Earth. He's going to take out Jotunheim. He's going to take everybody out. And Thor's got to save the universe on Earth.
Himself.
But you guys, there is a what is the word I'm struggling for it here? There's got to be a graduation of suspense. And I mean, he can't destroy the Earth and then destroy the Jotunheim. So I don't understand why Thor sacrificed.
Yeah, they should fuck about the ice giant.
The one of the best scenes in the movie is in the first 3 minutes.
Like, you need the ice giants. I mean, that's part of the whole mythology. And
it was my assumption that when they established that this rainbow bridge has the ability to destroy worlds, it was going to be turned on Earth. That was just my assumption at some point.
I thought they were going to go. Loki's working with the Jotunheimers. Sorry,
the Jotunheimers.
It just sounds like Jotunheimers. Jotunheimers.
I thought he was working with the Jotunheimers. Then you were going to see that beautiful scene that they showed in the first, where all of the ice giants come down and they're storming across Earth. You know, and everybody's getting frozen, and
That was really cool,
and people are running in terror, and I would have bought that.
And the brother thing happen in the past, like in the book, and then this is now the future?
Why not?
Now Loki's just a bad guy?
Keep in mind, if Loki is the main villain in the next one, like, all of this might just be waiting to happen in the Avengers movie. When you've got that many
superheroes
of megastar quality running around, you're going to have to come up with one doozy of a plot to keep them busy.
So you're saying the Genesis story might suck.
Why not? Why not?
Is that what you're saying, Don?
Did you see Johnny Jotunheimer? Oh, man, that guy. The way he controls the puck is unreal.
All right, that was my news story. I wanted to talk about Thor before.
You just want to talk about it because you knew I liked it.
Well,
sure. It gave me a moment to relive the ab scene in my head. So we're fine.
All right, Matt.
Okay, so this is a very interesting article. I'm going to try and sum it up. But Brooklyn Law School professor Adam J. Kobler's paper, "The Experiential Future of the Law," was recently published in the Emory Law Journal. The paper asks whether and when the law will take account of fMRIs and other tools that create quantitative indicators of subjective experience. That is, what happens when somebody claims they can tell you how much pain they've experienced and compare that to the pain that someone else in the same situation might experience. Okay, so just as for instance, you know, somebody is being sued for pain and suffering. Can you use an fMRI or other technologies to actually put a qualitative number on that?
I've always kind of wondered, like, if I had a stomach ache, mm-hmm. if you were in my brain, would you be like, "Kill me now"? This suffering is, right. Or is our pain equal?
Right.
But like,
for Crime and Punishment, you know, if you can look in somebody else's brain and you can say, "This mother is suffering because you killed her child, and it feels like this. Therefore, we can scan you with this technology and give you a crime that is equal to her level of pain."
I just don't think that that's going to happen for a number of reasons. One is that, I mean, you can look at an fMRI and see levels of neural activity, but you don't know how that's perceived within someone's brain.
Right.
But different people have different thresholds. I mean, there's been studies done that, and this is random, but bear with me. For instance, natural redheads have a higher threshold of pain. Again, apparently
does that show up in the scan though, or is that an interpretation of the scan? So in other words,
to be determined, and that's the thing. I mean, unless there's a technology that can quantify
technologies, the technologies are shifting. But so that you're going to be able to quantify
that redheads can withstand more pain
because they can't withstand. They're more sensitive.
but the only way to
are we going to ginger bash? We are not going to ginger bash.
But the only way to alienated that
information is somehow getting a number on that pain.
No, it's not necessarily so. I mean, like, basically, if you're going to be doing surgery, I mean, there are basically baselines of tests that you can do, and it's not necessarily an effect.
This baseline would be a visual one.
Yeah.
I just don't.
That one spiked. He deserves more compensation.
There are two different ways you could measure it. You could measure it with something like that, where you're looking at a digital readout of, you know, basically, neural activity, or you can also do a reaction test, which is how a lot of people measure response to pain fMRI. But the two may not equal. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, someone may have like a reading and their fMRI that's off the Richter charts, but when someone pokes them, they're like, "Yeah, that didn't really
well."
Hurt.
The thing that
because
was interesting
they're
to me,
perceiving it differently. So I don't know how you would be able to quantify that.
The other thing that you can't ignore, if you're talking about crime and punishment. Mm-hmm. You know, is an eye for an eye justice what we want? You know, or do we want to remove a threat for a period of time from our society? You know,
well, the thing is,
inflicting pain is not rehabilitation.
No, but the, but one of the things that they're saying is, you know, can you scan a prisoner and find out whether or not he has he or she has a high tolerance for pain and suffering, and whether or not their brain can be manipulated in that manner by incarceration, and therefore because these scans read a certain way, you would extend their sentence.
So yeah, I mean, you're basically predicting future behavior by their scans.
Yeah, exactly.
No, but he's not suggesting.
I'm not a big fan of that.
What he's not suggesting is you scan the victim, you get a reading, and then you apply that many joules of force back on the other guy. They're just saying, well, you know what, his level of pain was at a 2. So he deserves this much money in compensation as opposed to a level 6, which he deserves 10 times as much money as compensation.
Well, that I could see.
He's not talking about, like, taking a bat and equally beating the guy.
Well, like if we're talking accident compensation.
If we're talking, good to know where you stand on that.
I am.
If we're talking accident compensation, I can get
on
board.
Or what, a prison term?
No, maybe. I don't think a prison term that's appropriate. Like,
I would need a lot of convincing on either front, quite frankly.
Yeah, because you'd also have to prove that these things don't adjust over time. You know, like right now, there's this thing called the psychopath test that, parole boards regularly apply to parole prospects, right?
Yeah.
The problem is the entire psychological community is saying you can't do that. It doesn't work that way.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't matter. One of the big factors in the psychopath is your past actions as a teenager and your formative years.
Mm.
This sort of thing is the same thing. The way we measure you now may not be the same person you are in 7 years when all the cells in your body have been replaced.
Completely replaced, exactly.
Yeah. Well, and I also think that basically you're taking the complexity of human experience and trying to, you know, derive it down to a number and be able to say number to number.
I don't believe that it's possible.
Wanted to, but it never worked, and it never will.
I mean, we have systems that try to do that. But
those Cosmo tests are pretty accurate.
Yeah, but how accurate are they? Do we use them? Yes, but I'm not. Are you claiming that they're accurate?
No, I'm just saying we use them. We get colleges looking.
So you're saying let's start up using some more inaccurate numbers because we can?
Exactly.
Fantastic.
All right, let's move on.
As long as we're clear.
Got something.
I just wanted to do a quick. I'm currently playing Portal 2. Which
I emailed you about because I have it as well and I wanted to play with you, but no, I did not get an email back.
You never emailed me.
It's all right.
You never emailed
it's
me.
It's fine.
It's a Who great. Did you I email? Finished. I finished.
I'm fine.
I finished the single player.
Okay.
Now the co-op is a prequel, so maybe you should finish it.
Okay. I'm definitely having a good time with it. In brief. I've completed sort of the first chapter. I've moved into the second one so far. And so far, the gameplay is basically the same as the first one.
Mm-hmm.
However, somehow, they've managed to shoehorn a whole of a lot more personality, a whole of a lot more sort of just environment to the game. So far, I am just utterly charmed by the two characters they've got.
Excellent.
Accompanying.
Well, the gameplay will change, which is great about that game, is right when you're going, okay, this is just the first one. Then the next series of tools you have. And then when you're done with that, the next, which is great.
And this one has also expanded the world of the first one slightly for me. There's a little bit more of a.
The interesting thing is the game almost gets easier.
Really?
Okay. Have you played through the single player?
No. No.
There's some points where you just start cruising.
I'm behind.
Yeah. Okay.
Huh. Right. Well, I'm glad you're playing it because it's not making you sick.
I
small bursts.
I can only play for about half an hour before I have to put it down and go away for a little while. Motion sickness is not a friendly
thing.
Oh. Yeah. You know, it's a very twisted game where you don't know which way you're looking and all sorts of things.
Oh, and I saw this great... we'll see if we can link it to our website. I saw this great thing online. It was a live performance of Portal on stage where they just had two women dressed the same and then they... on a black environment where they brought up these glowing portals, they'd step through and they'd do miming. And it was great. It was
Did you see the little fan film? Woman, the woman comes in. It's like after she escapes, she's like in an apartment building and she tries to make cake. And it's pretty cute. I mean,
beautiful. So amazing. If you enjoyed the first Portal, go out and check out this one. It's a super friendly, basically an advanced casual game. It's really easy to share with pretty much even non-video gamers.
Yeah.
They'll have fun.
Yeah.
All right, what you got, Ianthe?
I'm unprepared. No one told me I was supposed to bring something
in. You brought an archaeological topic.
Oh, true. I did. You brought that. That was good.
Do you have anything more, Matt?
I do. What was it? Nashville, Tennessee. State lawmakers in country music's capital have passed a groundbreaking measure that would make it a crime to use a friend's login, even with permission, to listen to songs or watch movies from services such as Netflix or Rhapsody.
I almost put this in our little...
Yeah,
this is does not surprise me.
No.
Because, you know, like HBO Go, Netflix.
Sure.
I mean, if one of us buys Netflix for $8 a month and then shares it with 50 of their friends, the login and password, and then everyone's using Netflix,
yep.
Netflix can't stay in business that way.
No.
Or if you just publish, just post on Facebook your login and password and let everybody do it.
Right.
So this does not surprise me at all.
Doesn't surprise me either, particularly. No, not on a small scale. Like if you're sharing your password with your best friend, they're never going to know. If you share your password with 50 of your closest friends, you're probably going to get a letter.
If both of you log on, if not kicked off the service, it's going to flag something.
Suppose.
Yeah, that and you know, and if your friend in one part of the country and you are also doing it, it knows exactly where you're logging in from.
Well, the article I read about it today was saying that they're prepared to ignore it on small scale matters.
Well, they just wouldn't. It's just probably not worth it.
Probably not. I mean, it's like the RIAA suing end users. It's really not a big reward at the end of that.
Have they learned their lesson on that yet?
I don't think they're done quite yet.
What I loved in the explanation was the bill expands an existing law used to prosecute people who steal cable television or leave restaurants without paying for their meals.
Ha! It's true.
It's a dine and dash clause.
That's fascinating.
That's funny.
I actually love that.
The digital dine and dash.
Exactly.
Yeah. I don't know. I support stealing from the cable company. Sorry, Aaron, if you don't get cut off. But you shouldn't dine and dash.
Yeah, exactly. Where's your line?
I feel like the cable company is always stealing from me.
Time Warner still owes me my deposit back from New York, which is like 15 years ago.
Jerks. God.
Yeah,
jerks.
So I'm holding the grudge.
Why don't we move on to our topic?
All right.
All right, our topic. Our topic for tonight, or today, whatever time it is when you're listening to this podcast.
Yes.
Our topic... What inspired this? Osama bin Laden?
Well, actually, two things occurred at the same time. One, Osama bin Laden was killed by U.S. forces.
Right.
And two, in the Game of Thrones on HBO... somebody decided to assassinate Daenerys, who is a princess of a broken house, the former king in another kingdom who has fled the land. But the fear is if she lives, people will go to war to put her back on the throne. Even if she doesn't want to go back, people will still go to war to do it.
Right.
And thousands will die.
Right.
So the question is the murder, I mean, let's call it with Daenerys, is the murder of one person, one innocent, in order to avert the deaths of thousands acceptable?
Or not even an innocent.
Yeah,
not even an innocent. Mm-hmm. Would you kill Hitler's mom? You know, would you kill Hitler? When he was a kid, when he was a teenager, when he was an adult?
Mm-hmm.
See?
Okay.
And how science fiction and fantasy kind of addresses this, essentially.
Well, sci-fi and fantasy does this a lot. I mean, you mentioned a couple... You mentioned a couple examples before.
Yeah, the first thing that popped in my mind was several episodes of the original Star Trek.
That's surprising.
my whole day is filled with episodes of original Star Trek popping up. One of which is, you mentioned, Matt, is the episode where there's an acting troupe, and one of the actors of this acting troupe is on the run villain, with the most hated man in the universe.
You killed billions.
He killed millions and millions of people on a planet because he was the leader of this planet.
Yes.
I think there was like a grain blight or something, and the food on the planet just went away, and they were all starving. They had enough food to last for everybody 3 months. They called the Federation. They said, it's going to take us 6 months to get there with our fastest ship. So he makes a decision to kill off half the population in order to keep the other half fed for 6 months.
I don't remember this.
But what happens is a rescue ship shows up early.
Yeah.
After he has killed half the population. Mm-hmm. He then is...
Reviled
and flees and is on the run.
And he ends up in an acting troupe, so his life just in the toilet.
Community theater acting troupe.
It was terrible. They were doing the importance of being earnest, but you know.
The episode is great because he says, I'm not a Hitler. I don't see myself as a Hitler. If that ship had not showed up, then I would have been the man who saved half a planet. But instead, I'm the man who killed half a planet.
Right.
There's also another Star Trek episode, I don't know if you remember this, where Kirk and Spock visit a planet that apparently is in war with another planet. And...
Well, people are walking into the incinerators.
They're walking into incinerators because of this...
That's what you do.
Logan's Run.
Reason why they walk into incinerators is because they're playing a virtual war, and when this virtual missile hits, they all agree to walk into incinerators to recreate the death of that people.
Right.
In order to save each other's planets of total annihilation of real war, they have made these rules in which they will commit suicide save the rest of. Now,
yeah, and they've been at war for hundreds of years
thousands of years. Yeah. Now, in that case, Kirk says,
You're idiots.
The reason why you've been in war for 1,000 years is because you're too civil about war. You need to start killing each other and kill thousands in order for you to stop this war.
Right.
Do not play nice with war because it will last forever. Mm-hmm. You need to see the sickening, disgusting face of war in order to make real decisions about it.
True.
Well, if they can agree how to play war, why can't they just agree not to go to war and just call it a day?
Well,
that's what I'm saying.
Because then it wouldn't be sci-fi.
There'd be no episode.
Well, remember, there's even
a very boring episode.
Let's
not fight, Kay.
Okay.
Well, I mean, there's plenty of there's plenty of opposing forces on Earth that have all these strange little rules. You can't cross this line. We can't cross this line. And they make all sorts of little detailed specific things, but they can't say let's not fight.
No, you're absolutely correct.
So that's not anything new.
You're absolutely right.
But this is I thought those were two great examples of here's genocide. Well,
let me point out a spin of another episode. Now, this is actually sort of the opposite of what we're proposing. Babylon 5 did an episode where this doctor has come up with a serum that will cure this horrible disease that's killing thousands and thousands of people.
Right.
Mm-hmm. She's supposed to be transferred to this other group. They will fly her away to this safe place where she will start producing the serum. The problem is she produced the serum by committing horrific war crimes and killing thousands and thousands of people by doing medical experiments on them, and this is the result of those experiments.
She's Mengele.
Okay. So the question is, if she goes to this other place and starts this production, she will never be punished for her crimes, but thousands of people will live. Or if you punish her for her crime, then thousands of people will die.
Right.
Because she'll destroy the secret or something?
The secret dies with her.
Right.
That's another interesting...
See, the thing about the conundrum of it... I hate the Hitler one, would you kill Hitler's mom?
Right.
Because the thing is that the ramifications of somebody committing evil, or just evil in general, sometimes has massively good effect. For instance, this is a long example, but the bubonic plague, right? The guild system had basically locked up a lot of European countries during the Middle Ages. And the guild system basically said, if you were making shoes, Don, and you came in and you said, I want to make shoes and I have this new way of making shoes that's cool and entrepreneurial, they'd come in and break up your shop and destroy your tools and probably break your knees in the process, because by doing that, you would be putting X number of shoemakers out of work. But when the bubonic plague came along, it killed so many people that it actually shattered the guild system. And was one of the main reasons why we had massive economic development and made our way out of the Dark Age.
So,
but there's but that's a little bit faulty. There could have been something else that may have
absolutely. It is just one factor.
But that's always going to be the case. But is it okay? Well, I mean, you're asking the same question,
right?
Is it okay to kill thousands and thousands of people so that there's a better economic condition?
Right. Exactly. I mean, you know, but if those thousand people, you know, did World War II actually help put in place the thing that allowed America to become the power that it is? You know, I mean, we had one of the
it advanced our technology enormously.
Right. We had the 17th ranked military in the world, before World War II. Would we be as cool as we are now? And is it important for us to be as cool as we are now if that had happened?
What are these science fiction saying about that then?
Right. So, that's the question.
We have these two kind of opposing, like the fact that Kirk flat out said, no, you guys need to go to war and kill each other. That's an interesting take on the whole thing, that playing nice war is dragging this out. Is there, and the writer of that episode and, you know, the creators of that show decided to take this an interesting spin on, I mean, Star Trek's known for being, you know, the peace, you know, very
John
PC.
Luke would never have said that.
John Luke would have never have said that.
Never.
But it's interesting that they decided to take that take on it. I mean,
well, it's also a reflection of society right there.
Yes.
In that the 60s, there was a more sort of emotional response to it, where you hit the 80s and the 90s, it becomes much more of a PC.
What year was it, late 60s, early 60s? 68.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. So Vietnam's already going on at that
point.
So that
absolutely
is an interesting position to take.
Yeah.
I mean, they have Vietnam episodes actually written on this, you know, in that show.
Yeah.
Somebody was also somebody was also saying that one of the reasons why the 60s was so rife for new sci-fi and social unrest was because we'd spent so much money on scientific development to get everybody fighting versus the Russians for Sputnik, who's going to be the space race. So all of the kids who we were sending to science classes then had these huge brains and were like, government sucks.
Yeah. But now let's go back to your original question.
Yes.
You know, with the whole killing Hitler thing, right? It makes you uncomfortable because of the echoes of changes it would do throughout history. Now let's pick out someone more recent, right? Osama bin Laden. In our real world, committed a horrific act of atrocity.
Absolutely.
In the past 10 years, right? I think it is very difficult to say that anything good has come out of that.
Absolutely.
Right? Mm. Would you kill Osama bin Laden's mother? Like, you no longer have the history, the context of history behind
you.
In the present tense.
I mean, yes. I would, but it's... You know.
So you do find it acceptable to murder innocent to prevent evil?
I mean, there's the old brain experiment, which is there's a train full of people and it's 1,000 people or something like that, and there's one guy, and if you pull a lever, the guy falls in front of the tracks and the train goes off the track and the people live, right? And most people will say, I'll pull a lever and the guy falls and then
save the group.
But there's another one where they say, okay, and you're right next to the guy and you have to push him
physically push him
directly in front of the train. Right as it happens. And most people are like, no, I can't do that. And for me, I'd push the motherfucker, but I mean, I'd push him. But I mean, it still gives me this sense of like.
Well, this is that same, you know, when it comes to innocence. If you're talking about innocence, it's that whole MASH episode, which is the exact same thing where you kill the crying baby in order to.
Oh, that one. Yeah. No. You know. I used to think I was a hard ass and I could do that, and then I had a kid.
That's what I find. It's like people who have kids are always like, no. People who don't have kids are like, sure.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Kids dead. Kids soup.
Yeah.
But the kid's dead either way.
Yeah.
So, you know, but you'd have to kill the kid. No.
Yeah,
but
not
I mean, that, I think this is a little bit different. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. There's a Battlestar Galactica episode where they could destroy every single Cylon. I believe genocide. And I believe there was a whole discussion about that, and they decided not to do it,
even though that group had tried to commit genocide on them.
Right.
Yeah. So what is that show telling us? Is this a sign of the times as well?
Is it completely just in the moment decision? Can anybody really come up with a rationale?
I don't think it's the sort of question you can prepare for.
No, and I actually think it's actually hard to talk about in the abstract, because it's one thing to say, yeah, I would kill Osama bin Laden's mother, but none of us are ever going to be in a position where we have to make that decision. So it's actually an easy thing to say.
Yes.
Right. Where yeah, actually, you might be in a position to write a script. So what would you say?
What do you mean? Like
what
my
would
script,
your position on your script be?
I would have a really hard time with that, because I actually think another sci-fi tradition is the alternate history. And most of the times it's not something as drastic as having to kill someone. I mean, maybe it's, you know, maybe it's, I don't know. It's like the butterfly wing effect. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? It's changing some other factor in the equation that changes one thing, that changes another, changes another, mm-hmm. changes another. And if I was writing a script, I would have to make a choice about what incident would be the linchpin that changes everything behind it. I doubt that it would be killing someone's mother, because it just seems so...
What about that? Have you ever read Schrodinger's Cat?
Yes.
Okay. If I recall correctly, there are multiple histories in that book, right? And they all sort of branch off from different places where some key event changed everything.
Mm-hmm.
In one of them, if I recall correctly, a president does not push the button because – I'm getting a little explicit here. We're going to have to stick the explicit label on – because of a strategically placed blowjob in history, which kept him just so sort of like relaxed and at ease that when that tension point came, he didn't hit the button. Hmm. You know, so yeah, I mean, it's the butterfly effect.
Well, there's another Star Trek episode, the city, probably the most famous City on the Edge of Forever,
yeah.
where
yeah.
Kirk must let this woman die, who is a good
Joan
person.
Collins, Joan back Collins. In the day.
She was gorgeous.
She was beautiful.
And in their talk actually shows, tells you the exact timeline yeah. path in which that changes and the reason why.
But if I'm correct in the way I remember it, he lets her die. He doesn't have to push her in front of the car. He just doesn't save her.
Right.
Yes. Okay.
No, that's different.
It's a very thin...
That's very different.
No, but for Captain Kirk, if she was going to be shot by somebody directly in front of him, Kirk's jumping in front of the bullet, or he's going to take the guy out with... Dan, 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 dan,
well, this was the thing. The car was running her over.
The double-handed kung fu fist.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
The car was running around. He stopped McCoy. He grabbed him, and he's like, he said, you know, what are you doing? You crazy.
We got to let her go.
Exactly.
And you know what you did.
Well, because, yes. But anyway, that's a great episode. But
but another interesting
because it was her time to die.
But, I mean,
so that's a fate.
So the question
is, I don't necessarily believe in fate, but in that episode, it was perfect.
I have a weird position on this, and this is a position I've taken on this show before, I think. Just phrased slightly differently. I think it's sort of the responsibility of the group to try and think as beneficently as possible, right? Okay. They need to live up to their highest standards as the group.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's sort of the responsibility of the leaders to think as ruthlessly as possible to preserve the group.
Well, I'm going to say...
This, up on the
this is
Jack
interesting
Bauer
considering
episode.
How liberal you are.
I'm going to also say one other thing. I'm going to go super liberal on you.
Okay.
I really think it's also a decision about who you want to be.
Because
if you're going to be the people who decide to kill every Cylon in the known universe and commit genocide, which you know I'm not a Cylon fan for many reasons, but who do you become as a result of that? I mean, yeah. And I don't think, you know...
The action changes you forever.
Absolutely.
And that's what, you know, our heroic heroes are always kind of taking that, you know... Who will it say about us if we do this? You know,
yeah,
right.
Which
is such a uniquely American viewpoint.
Yeah, well, and
such
it's also
uniquely American.
It's a little and, easy,
and it's always
actually.
Possible.
You think it's easy
by going back and killing Osama bin Laden's mother? You piss off Osama bin Laden, he swears revenge, and everything happens because you did it. You know,
I understand
what I mean.
Well, yes,
the chain of events causes the chain of events that you're trying to.
Yeah, another Osama bin Laden, because if you killed his mother, he would not be alive.
Well, if he showed up late.
You
cloning?
Mean kill his mother after he's
after
been born?
He's born.
After he's been born. Oh, yeah.
I'm like, that's just messy
timeline, what's
Don.
The point,
messy timeline.
Dude, Matt, have you ever been on time? Come on. You know this would happen.
Yeah, this is true.
Do you feel that, science fiction and fantasy sometimes commit genocide on a whim too easily? Like... Death
it's
Stars.
A great plot point.
Oh yeah, they
like,
blow shit up a lot. Yeah,
blowing up Princess Leia's.
It's almost done as a one liner.
Yeah.
Right. Oh yeah.
And
well, that's because sci-fi is almost always galactic stakes. It's never Well, that was the thing that Star Trek did well, was it was always individual stakes.
This is your problem with Thor. You don't like the individual. You want it to be about the planet.
No, 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 no. If it had been about her, that would have been just fine.
She was in jeopardy.
But she wasn't. The bridge was had to be broken. And Loki had to do a sit-up.
The Jotunheim had to be saved, and the bridge was a vehicle to do it.
Okay.
And it was the rainbow bridge he broke, man.
I know.
It wasn't just any bridge.
I know. It's
no pride parade for Asgard.
No pride parade for Asgard.
It's over.
Absolutely not.
I'm trying to think if there's any, like, fantasy takes on this. Like, you know, sword sorcery.
Well, in just about every universe with dragons, all the dragons have been killed.
And I'm going to say, there's a book in the Darkover book where it's someone so powerful that they annihilate, if I'm not mistaken.
Darkover books?
It's what I was talking to you about, those Marion Zimmer Bradley books. But I believe, if I remember correctly, haven't read them in 20 years, but I think that someone became so powerful that they eliminated.
Just
it's like the Q effect. He basically thought about them, and therefore they...
Yeah, didn't Q do that a bunch?
There was that... He did, and then... Remember the elderly couple?
Elderly couple?
And it turned out that the woman wasn't actually there. It was just the man, and the man was doing penance.
Yeah, what was that?
This is Next Generation.
Oh,
yeah.
I remember the actors. I can see their faces.
Yeah, no, it's not... And they keep trying to evacuate them from the planet, and they won't leave, and they're just trying to get them to leave, and Diana Troy is going crazy because she got the song in her head.
She was always going crazy.
She was always going crazy, but it was... I was going crazy by the end of the episode of her that saw that refrain one more time.
That woman, in 6 years, never once had a concrete sense of anything. She never once said, like, I'm feeling anger. It was always like, I'm getting a vague sense of... Yeah, like, why are you always vague? Maybe if you were full Beta Zed, we wouldn't have this fucking problem.
Actually, that would be great, though. He wants to kill you.
I sense hostility, Captain. They just fired at us.
All right. Do we have anything else to say about
this? I don't know. Do we?
I feel like we've just scratched the surface.
So, yeah,
like, where
do the needs of the many outweigh the needs of the few is the question that we're
I just don't think we could ever answer.
Yeah, I feel...
I don't think... We're never going to be in a position where we actually have to make that decision. I think anything we say here today would be completely irrelevant if ever that moment came.
I'm not suggesting that we actually answer that.
You're thinking we need to write something about it?
No, I'm just interested in what, you know, science fiction and fantasy has different takes on this, and I think it's just interesting. I'm wondering where their viewpoints are. Like, why?
I will take the standpoint that, yes, like, I think that... the needs of the many do outweigh the needs of the few.
And do you feel like Battlestar Galactica made that choice because they wanted the heroes to feel that that's what we expect them to do? Or were they say something else?
Yes, I believe they did that because that's what they expect them to do. We couldn't like them if they...
Because we're the Americans and we have to be the nice guys?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Because, you know, Battlestar Galactica was pretty good about...
That ship has sailed.
Yeah. But that's because we don't talk about it.
But that's what I mean about the easy way of going. Not easy decision, but an easy writing. It's easy to write that way. Of course, your heroes are going to not... commit genocide
because they're heroes, they're not anti-heroes.
Well, okay,
I mean, it would depend on who your character is.
The legitimate authority decided, yes, we must preserve the many, we will let them go. And there was one individual that said no. Like, you can't have a future built on the blood of the past. And he killed Mangala before she could be
released. Oh, really? One person?
One person took it into their own hands to assassinate
her. You know, by the way, you know, J. Michael Straczynski was very... much a part of Thor.
Yeah.
And he was one of the main writers on
his name was big on the screen.
Okay, so just in wrapping up,
go ahead. While the needs of the many, I do believe, outweigh the needs of the few, I think there are degrees, you know. The convenience of the many does not outweigh the needs of the few. The personal preferences of the many do not outweigh the needs of the few.
Interesting.
You know, and a matter of fact, I don't think the personal preferences of the many outweigh the personal preferences of the few.
And by the way, is the term the needs of the many outweigh the needs of the few, is that all just a biological need to propagate? Is that built inside us, or is there really something behind that? Like, who gives a crap if there's only two more people left in of the human race if they're the good ones? And the others died.
because you need something like
64
people
actually
to have a genetic viability for long-term procreation.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Who cares?
That's awesome.
That's what I'm saying. Is that because that's built into you, that you being worried that there's another human being born?
There is a genetic predisposition to want to continue living. Yes.
And is that
but there
where
is
you
also a society? There's also a species imperative to keep existing.
Mm-hmm.
It is possible in some circumstances for the desire, like one of the socio-evolutionary explanations for homosexuality, right? Mm-hmm. It's a dead end on the family tree. They don't reproduce. But the theory is they are giving up their reproductive right to increase the reproductive viability of their siblings,
yep. Mm-hmm.
of their society, of their town, of their village, of their tribe.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, I'm confused. What you said this is a biological imperative for the species? What is that?
As a group, we want to
continue
as a whole.
The human race
as a society, we want to continue as a society?
No.
That doesn't even make
sense.
There
are some biological traits, right?
Mm-hmm.
That may actually reduce personal viability but increase the viability of your
offspring. Society as a whole. Okay,
yeah.
So
you may contribute to the species at your own price.
And you as a writer always writing that the needs of the many outweigh the needs of the few. Is it built into your DNA? Because
I don't know that that's true. I think
what's the other reason?
Well, then there wouldn't be such a thing as libertarianism.
That gets us into nature versus nurture,
and that's a long
road.
I think that if you're talking about as a writer, you're making choices. I mean, it depends on who you're writing about. I mean, if you're writing about an anti-hero, needs of the few clearly outweigh the needs of the many. Do you know what I mean? Like, or maybe they don't.
Atlas
that's
shrugged.
The twist at the end. I mean, I don't know. As a writer, you're just making choices.
Yeah, no, I know. But those choices are based on how people are going to react to it. And if everybody reacts, oh, that's a bad guy thing, then that must be, quote, wrong.
Yeah, but what if
are you feeling judged, Darren?
I'm just saying, what if 90% of the society are the bad guys and there's like these other people are not, and the choice is let them live. So the needs of the many would be...
Well, what's the difference between the biological imperative of saying, you know, okay, I'm walking out in the savannah and I see a child crying and there's an animal about to eat it, and I save the kid.
Well, but that's not a biological imperative unless it's your kid. That might be a like a society. Do you know
but
what I mean?
Don't you think that most people would naturally feel the biological imperative to save
and
the kid?
And there is a biological reason to save a human child. It'll be lessened for a child that is not of your tribe. It'll be lessened for a child that is not of your continent.
I mean,
but you'll also have that same biological pull to rescue a kitten that is about to be killed by a dog.
Well, yes, little round eyes, cute faces. Yes, we're all programmed to like them, and I get it. I'm not immune to that. I'm not trying to make it sound like I wouldn't try to save the baby. I'm just saying, you know, there's lots of studies about like children and step parents and how the fact that they're not biological children actually creates a distance. And there's statistics on child abuse and things like this where if it's not biologically a child, it's more prevalent. And I don't remember.
Well, there is a biological reason for that, too.
But I'm just saying, well, you can't say it's a biological imperative to just save a baby. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's definitely more of one if it's your baby.
There are other factors.
But,
you know. Like a step-parent, you know, can look at that adopted child as taking up potential resources that could be used for your own child.
There are absolutely a million things that go into that. No, it's not a simple equation at all. I didn't mean to make it sound like it was. But just like, you know, we're talking about these kind of large generalizations, and I find it hard to talk in large generalizations because I think...
That's geeksound.com for you.
Very specific. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Specific.
Well, that's what I mean. You know,
is there a lion nearby? Like, what's the situation?
So, I don't know. I mean, okay,
knowing that Jotunheim is going to invade Asgard at some point in the future, knowing that Ragnarok is coming and these ice giants are going to kill a lot of the Asgardians, should Loki have pulled that trigger?
One more time, sorry.
According to the legend,
the Jotunheimers are coming.
The ice giants will kill most of the Asgardians.
Right.
He has the ability to pull a switch, use the Rainbow Bridge as a weapon, and destroy Jotunheim. Should he do that?
I'm gonna be predictable and say no, because I mean, this is okay. A, I don't believe in fate. B, there are a million things that you could change in that equation that maybe would make the outcome different. I don't, okay. you know, I don't think
so. You would just let them walk all over.
No, I'm not saying I would like. Well, she's be like, come on in.
She would let the potential for that future continue to exist.
So you just step away and go, let's just let the dice get roll. We'll see what happens.
I'm not saying I'm that laissez-faire about it. I'm just saying I don't think I'd blow up their entire planet and kill everyone. I mean, there are possibly other options that you could explore.
I mean, just about every bad guy that gets a prophecy, every single bad guy in fantasy, Krull, I think, was like this. Willow is like this. Every time there's a prophecy saying there a child will be born that will destroy you, they always go off. They attempt to commit genocide, and in the process, that child gets away. Well, and the fact that they committed that genocide—it's
Greek tragedy. It's pre-biblical. I mean, you look at the Greek myths, and you know, people, you can. It doesn't turn out well when you try to beat the prophecy. Let's just put it that way. So killing all the Youngheimers, not so good.
All right. I think we've wound down this.
Okay, cool. Anybody got a recommendation for a good thing that a good movie or show that shows this topic if you want to pursue it further? We've given a few. We've got Battlestar Galactica. We've got Babylon 5.
All of the original Star Trek.
All the original Star Trek.
Yeah, Star Trek hits
anybody
that.
Anybody got a last one that you got to go see that's all about the craziness.
Well, you know, I was thinking about the original Matrix because the needs of the few outweigh the needs of the many in the Matrix. If you can't unplug, your history.
That's right. Interesting. You're part of the. It's very
that's
anarchist.
Interesting.
That's a very anarchistic viewpoint.
I hadn't thought of that.
I'm just saying, and one of my favorite movies.
See, we were right to bring Ianthe along.
Mm-hmm. All right.
All right. Well, I have a bit.
You have a bit?
Yes.
What does that mean?
Okay, this is a little quick bit, just so we're not signing off directly from such a weirdo, bummer topic.
Okay.
Aaron has handed us all pens and a small piece of paper.
Yes. This is a Geek News Quiz.
Geek News Quiz.
Oh, okay.
Geek News Quiz. This is multiple choice, so don't answer out loud until you all
don't
have
shout out
them.
The answer. There's a, is that there's, what you're saying?
There's only eight of these, so it won't be that long. Do we need
to put our name in the upper right hand corner?
No, you'll tell us right after.
Homeroom number?
Okay. Here's the first one. And those of you at home, you can keep score as well. Mitt Romney caused a stir in 2007 when he said he really loved L. Ron Hubbard's notoriously awful Battlefield Earth. What latest book did he confess that he liked? A. Game of Thrones. B. Twilight. C. Quote, I Am a Robot by Isaac Asimov.
Wow.
Okay. Don, what do you think?
I actually know the answer to this
one. Oh, okay.
And it is B.
Twilight. Yes.
Correct. I picked Twilight as well because I figured he's trying to suck
My
up the
God,
most possible people.
I was trying to give him a benefit of the doubt.
What'd you do? Game of Thrones?
I said Game of Thrones.
Well,
I
keep
was
in
trying
mind.
To hope that
keep
that
in mind,
I thought
Twilight,
he was going broad appeal.
Twilight is a Mormon love story.
Mm.
He is Mormon. So he's sticking close to his base on that one.
I was going to make an underwear joke.
I am a robot. Okay. The second question. Duke Nukem Forever has finally gone gold, and after 12 years of on and off development, and will soon be on shelf soon.
Sure.
What other news related to the game was announced this week? That A, that it can be installed and run on Windows 95. B, that GameStop will still honor decade-old pre-orders with receipts. Or C, that Gearbox Software also announced they've licensed and obtained the assets of the failed Blizzard title, StarCraft Ghost. And that will be their next project. Mm. Do you know this one, Don?
I don't, actually.
Okay.
You're not even speaking English
Matt,
as far as
I'll
I'm
go
concerned.
With B. I think they're honoring the receipts.
For 10-year-old receipts.
10-year-old receipts.
Don, what do you think?
I have to agree with that one.
I'm on there. I'm yep. That's
well, you
choice.
Are right.
You have to.
Okay, two high school seniors have been suspended and maybe kept from going to graduation this year because of what? A, they performed a mock lightsaber duel in the lunchroom with plastic swords. B, hid a geocache in the principal's office, later mistaken for a bomb or incendiary device, or C, attempted to mix Harry Potter-inspired potions in chemistry class, causing noxious fumes.
Go away, Andy.
What was the first one?
The first one is they performed a mock lightsaber duel in the lunchroom. What's that?
High school. Okay.
Ianthi, what is your...
I'm going C for noxious fumes.
Noxious fumes. Don.
I'm with Ianthi on this one.
Noxious fumes?
I'm going for lightsaber duel.
You're right. Lightsaber duel.
Wow.
Got them suspended, and they may not be going to graduation.
Because it seemed stupid. That's why... It seems like the thing that I'd be like, that's so dumb.
But potions would be so much fun.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I'm sort of amazed that it hasn't happened.
Yeah.
Okay. Apparently, the science business can be a bit dangerous in the most unexpected ways. A group of Italian scientists have been brought up on manslaughter charges for not predicting an earthquake killing over 300 people. B, a couple of engineers of the Hadron Collider are claiming to have short-term memory issues due to tachyon particles that may be originating from the future. Or C, a Kansas City church group threw rotten vegetables at a group of students letting out of a paleontology class claiming to be studying the devil's lies.
I was going to say the devil's work, but, you know, splitting hairs.
Wow.
You know how hard it is to think of alternate answers that might be...
Yeah, it's pretty hard.
It's true.
All right, Matt.
I'm going to go with B, the tachyon, because it's so ludicrous.
Okay. I recognize Aaron's techno babble when I hear it.
I'm
going with A.
You're going with A.
Yeah, and I read that article, so...
Oh, so you know this one. Yeah. Yes, A group of scientists are being brought up on manslaughter... Italian scientists being brought up on manslaughter charges for nothing.
Maybe they fell asleep.
Earthquake predictions are so predictable.
If they were fucking having lunch, maybe. Like, they're like, I don't know. What is that rumbling? Yeah, I mean, maybe. But
still.
If they were passed out on Chianti.
I mean...
Okay. Even geeks can dole out punishment like anybody else. What punishment made it to the news this week? A high school teacher called Child Protective Services after the student began acting distant and, quote, robotic, then confessed his mother was forcing him to go through the Vulcan ritual Kalinar, purging of all human emotions. B, a German taser manufacturer has designed a law enforcement grade taser able to fire up to 15 feet with a sci-fi twist. It's styled after the 1960s Star Trek Phaser Mark II.
Interesting.
Or C, Chinese prisoners are being forced by prison bosses to farm gold in World of Warcraft. All three seem a little crazy.
One sadly less so than the others.
I went B.
B with the Star Trek taser. Matt?
I went C with the Chinese gold farming.
I always put money on the Chinese gold farmer.
You are right. Chinese gold farmer prisoners making money for the bosses. Okay.
The taser would have been so cool.
I want that taser.
I'm just going to say that again. Potions
Apple.
And tasers.
I hate clicking all day long.
I guess we need to edit this quickly because Apple will announce A, the iSnap, an affordable DSLR camera that will instantly upload photos and HD quality video to your home computer, allowing for infinite number of photos being shot. Or B, the iTot, a new collection of books, digital music, podcasts, and apps curated and designed for young kids. The interface will be streamlined so that kids can actually explore content themselves with plenty of interactive menus. Or B, the iCloud, subscription-based...
Okay. Or C.
Subscription-based service in P3. Okay.
You were the guy who had his hand up in class all the time.
Oh, yeah. Thanks, Horseshack.
No. He said B twice.
Ooh,
that's why I said
Oh. Sorry. Yes, see the iCloud. I think everybody knows that one.
Yeah.
Speaking of Apple, it's still apparently hard to get an iPad 2 in some places. Like, A, French casinos are allowing iPads and iPhones to be cashed in for chips when patrons have run out of money. B, a 17-year-old Chinese boy sells a kidney to buy an iPad 2 and an iPhone. Or C, there have been two reports from Korea of deaths from customers waiting in line to buy new iPads. with lines taking over a month and a half to get through.
I think I actually read this, but I'm going to be very embarrassed if I'm wrong.
Okay.
B, the kidney thing.
I thought it was C.
I'm going with A. I'm going with
A. It was actually B. A kid sold his kidney to get money for an iPad 2. And
I was really hoping that wasn't
true. That's really disturbing.
All right, and the last one, and this is not a crazy one, but I just was excited when
I saw it. What's that like, 700? That's like 1,100 bucks?
Yeah.
You should get more for a kidney.
They got three. He got like 3,000, I think, so he had some money left over.
Yeah, I mean, I can sell a kid's kidney for at least $4,000.
3,000?
Wait.
I seriously think... Well, anyway.
All right, last one. Last one, and this is just because I'm a fan of the game. The team behind the upcoming video game Batman Arkham City has just announced there will be a second playable character. A, Robin the Wonder Boy. B, this 1960s comic-style Batman. Or C, Catwoman.
I'll go with C, Catwoman, because I think it'd be fun to play.
Don?
I know it's C.
Julie Newmar.
C, Catwoman. And it looked pretty cool.
I am a big fan of Catwoman. I love the character. They sexualized this Catwoman beyond. Like, I couldn't believe...
So you're saying instead of being cool, I'm going to be disturbed?
No, it's... She looks
really awesome. She's awesome. But, like, she kills everyone with, like, super sexy acrobatic maneuvers, you know?
Yeah. Anyway, I thought I just went through the week's news and thought that would be funny.
That's awesome. I love that.
Maybe we'll do it again next time.
Maybe.
Somebody else can do the list.
The list next time.
We have not discussed the topic for the next episode, so we're going to leave that open for now.
Yes.
Oh.
Excellent. And then, of course, Comic-Con's coming up.
Beautiful.
You going to come to Comic-Con?
When is it?
If you don't have tickets, you're not going to Comic-Con.
Well, there's a couple other ways of getting tickets.
That's true.
So... Yeah. We'll talk about it, Dianthe.
Yeah, I have no idea what I'm doing. Like,
it's pretty crazy.
All right.
All right, everybody. Have a good Geek Week.
Talk it out.
Bye.
Bye, guys.